I'm going to mess with the mics while you guys talk, but go ahead.
Okay. Is this on?
Yeah, it's on. I can
hear
feedback.
They're making noise.
Oh, it was. But, okay, there. It's got a little green line, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, so we need roll call.
Commissioner Madigan.
Here.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Excused.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
And Supervisor Perez.
Absent.
Wait, well, you know.
All righty. We'll call then. Approval of summary proceedings for
April 26, 2017.
It was so fast. Yes. Yes, it was.
I'll make the motion, but I have a correction.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell her. Well, we told her, but I'm not going to tell her again. She's an alternate member.
Okay, so
and she's a member.
All right, so what's the correction?
Well, the only thing I want to add is something
it doesn't just,
near the beginning just doesn't that says that the room is only available for 30 minutes, so if somebody's looking at this, they'll wonder why we tabled everything.
Okay.
And I already told Amber.
I got a correction.
Okay, cool. All righty. Any other corrections?
Not that I could find.
Where's that at?
It isn't on there. That's what she's requesting it be put on there.
It's not on there, so we need to make sure that it is. Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Sorry, who made the motion?
I did.
Okay.
All right. Item C, consent agenda. Let's see here. There is no correspondence to the commission. So we move on to item D, which is public presentations.
Did we move the correspondence? Did we cover that?
There was none.
Yeah,
there was none. We covered it from last month, if that's
what
you're
asking. Okay, we did.
Yeah.
That did not get moved over to this month.
Yeah. It was really fast. Okay, so this portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission, commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please come up to the podium, state your name and address for the record. Before making your presentation, speakers are limited to 2 minutes. And if I could ask everybody to please turn their phones, et cetera, off or down so that you're not disrupting.
Yes, I hear it.
Yes, ma'am.
I was asked by the clerk of the board to remind the commission that their Form 700 has to be turned in. Thank you.
Okay, so table one. Nada, nada. Terry? Table two? Yes, Liz.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome.
Oh, yay. My name is Liz Keogh, K-E-O-G-H, proud resident of the 5th Super Missourial District. I have one kind of personal announcement. I don't think I'm telling tales out of school. Those of you who know Peggy Soltis, who sometimes comes here, has been involved mostly with cats. Her wife has been ill for quite a while with various maladies and was put on hospice last Saturday. So I want to let you know that. In more substantive matters, some of you will recall that in 2012-13, there was an entity called the Metropolitan Bakersfield Animal Control Committee. It was composed of two supervisors, two city council people, and the then chair of this commission. One of the things that group was looking at, because of the contract with the county running out, and trying to negotiate a new contract and all this good stuff. One of the things they were looking at was what's called a Joint Powers Authority, a JPA, for the Metropolitan Bakersfield General Plan Area. And for those of you who don't know what it is, go to whatever and you'll see. 7 Standard Road, Merle Haggard Drive. Colin, correct me if I'm wrong, is I think the northern boundary goes all the way down to Bear Mountain Boulevard, actually, and I forget the east and west boundaries. The notion of a JPA, which, by the way, they have in Marin County, it's countywide, is all the rules and regulations from city, county are the same. You get one license, okay? If I live in the county, 4 houses in from the city, across the street from me is a Social Security building and Foods Co. If I find a dog in the Foods Co. parking lot, which is city jurisdiction, I have to bring it out to Colin because I'm a county resident. This is nonsense. The jurisdiction that benefits from my removing that stray dog from city jurisdiction is city. If you have a JPA, it doesn't matter. And we have 2 shelters. I know of at least one story where a highway patrol officer was on Weed Patch Highway. For those of you unfamiliar with it, it goes from Bakersfield to Lamont. It's in the county. City shelter is right there at the top. He found a stray dog. He brought it in. He was told, sorry, you found it in the county, so bring it over to Fruitvale. My question is, if somebody is from West Virginia and picks up a dog in front of my house, say, are they told by county to take it back to West Virginia because that's where they live? I don't think so. What really is a problem is at clinics. I go to most of them. When people show up who live in the county at the city clinic and they're told you have to go to Fruitvale on Wednesday night or Shafter or Lamont or whatever. This is absolute nonsense. It is a disservice to the people who are trying to do right by their animals. It's a disservice to the animals. And we were 0.5 millimeter close to negotiating. They even had architectural drawings of what the facility would look like. Colin will call me in a minute if I lie. So much of the ground has been done. And with the contract that the city has with the SPCA running out on September 30th, it was a 1-year contract with extensions for 3 years. That's up with other things going on. I don't know if the commission can make a recommendation to hold a workshop, to do whatever, but I think we need to reopen that issue and figure something out. That's it for now. Have I caused enough trouble?
I have some questions, if you'll stay there.
If they allow me.
Sure. Will we allow her?
Well, of course.
We were told to make sure these are on. Is it on?
Yes.
Well, yes?
Yes.
Okay. I've been along the ride with you on this, and in theory, I agree with it, but to be honest with you, I don't know enough. And I would imagine that that's probably the case for the majority of the folks in this room. There's a few smart people like Jerry, she probably knows. But before we make a recommendation or hold a workshop or any of that kind of stuff, I would like more detailed and relevant to Kern County information. And I'd be willing, as long as my body holds up,
you and me.
Yeah.
Only have one.
Old people unite, yeah. I'd be willing to work with you and whoever else is significantly important to do some kind of a presentation maybe in a couple of months to this commission and or whoever else needs to have it. I've always thought it was a good idea, but it just seemed like it was a stretch to make it happen. But I think this might be the beginning of maybe looking at it more seriously and see if, in fact, it would be something we all agree upon?
Yeah, you and I can work on that. I've done a lot of research, Madigan, and that's why I know about, for example, Marin County. Mm-hmm. And that is the exact purpose of a workshop, is to you have a couple of people who've done some research on a specific topic so they can present to the group. Group can back and forth. It's something like going back many, many years when Don Maben said, let's get together and talk about animal control. Yeah, I mean, you remember that,
Jerry. Well, he caused a lot of crime.
but when those people came together, there were no position statements, there were no, I mean, this person knew something about this. I don't want to say chaotic, but it was not, you know, one of these nice university-sponsored seminars where we
very
had
interesting
speakers and all that jive. And so that's the kind of thing I'm kind of looking at as a first step. We can get out press releases, whatever. Does County Council have any comment on this? Because she usually does.
Not at this time.
Okay. I know that initially when they did this, I mean, it didn't last. And when they did the JP, I mean, it didn't last very long. I mean, they did do quite a bit of work initially, and then it just kind of fell by the wayside. So I don't know if any of that information or any of the people involved would still be available to share that information. But, I mean, you know, like Mike?
I'm also a pack rat.
This I know.
So I have a bunch.
I would imagine Liz probably has archived every document that was presented in any city or county meeting regarding this. Am I right?
Just about. The only trouble is I have a new computer and some of the stuff went into folders and I couldn't transfer that. But I have, in terms of documents, yes. And there is just, you and I can talk later, there's one reason why it fell apart.
Well, yeah. We both know.
Okay.
Yes.
And in the absence of that, I think we would have had a JPA up and running now.
Right.
And that element has disappeared mercifully.
Mm-hmm.
From Kern County, if not the face of the earth.
Okay.
I get a little bit input on this. I agree with you, the frustration level.
I'm over my time limit, by the way.
Yeah. That's a lot.
See that.
Okay.
We'll start charging now.
You have to adopt two more dogs for everything. So in Orange County, I ran animal services for 30 years for Irvine, the city of Irvine, and we were surrounded by Orange County. And county had their own animal control. We could never... Orange County didn't play well, so we never had a joint powers authority. But my staff would work with it on a mutual agreement to get the dog to where it needed to go or meet the county officer at our borders or whatever. So joint power authority is a great idea, but I'm not sure it's workable here. But an agreement, Nick, an agreement could work that...
I hear so clearly what you're saying.
I think we talked about those kinds of agreements.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm an old hippie. What you do...
Really?
I'm sorry. What you do and what we did on so many issues back in the day, and to some extent now, is you go for the gold. It's like labor negotiations. You know, the employer wants to pay you 10 cents an hour, you want a buck an hour, and at some point you come to a middle thing.
Part of the deal does that too.
Huh? Oh, shut up. But I would like us to start. If you start in the middle, Debbie, then you wind up where you don't want to be. If you go for the gold, you may wind up with the bronze medal, which you never expected you'd get at all. So that would be my take.
I agree with that.
And that's why you have discussions. That's why you have negotiations. That's why you have people throwing their ideas in so that you can come to that mutual agreement among all parties. Nobody gets everything they want. Nobody gets nothing. Everybody gets something.
Well, the timing might be right.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do about this, Commissioner?
Well, do you want to... Okay, you want to be a committee?
Here's what I'm thinking. I think Nick should be involved. He doesn't have to be at every brainstorming session where we talk about everything.
No, after Liz was done talking, I was going to ask his opinion.
So. Yeah. However, if it's just me, I don't think that's considered a subcommittee, is it?
Right, yeah.
So I don't know if anybody else wants to be involved, or I don't know how you word that.
Don't over-bureaucratize this.
Well, I'm trying to appease the lawyers and stuff.
Madam Chair, at this point, because it was brought forth in public presentations, you can make a staff referral, or you can ask to have it added to next month's agenda, but you're unable to act under the public presentation.
All right, so...
But me and Madigan could meet 24 hours a day from now until the next meeting and come up with something and then present it at the meeting if it's agendized on the next meeting, right?
Correct.
Can we make it 2 months?
Sure.
I don't trust...
I'm looking at 30 September.
I know. I'm just saying that because I can't hear June, July.
You ladies can schedule it after the meeting.
Well, I just don't want to put it on the agenda.
No,
we can always,
you guys can
always table it to the following month.
Can we put it on the agenda for
yeah,
the next
if we
meeting?
Need to, we can table it to the next month. So, yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
All right.
I'm done.
I think.
And what about Nick being involved?
I'm going to.
You guys can discuss it after the meeting.
Well, but I mean,
we need a motion to put it on the agenda 2 months from now.
I don't care what his opinion is at this point, because you and I can do something and then we can present it to him and he can react. I mean, he's not sitting around twiddling his thumbs, you know, waiting for somebody to ask him to come to a meeting.
He is.
Okay, so do you want to make a motion to put it on the agenda?
I'll make a motion to put it on next month's agenda, a presentation by me and Liz Keough.
On the feasibility of a joint powers authority.
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
With input from Director Cullen.
I'd be happy to participate in the meetings.
Okay,
awesome. Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Even though my opinion is not needed.
Any opposed?
Nor is it welcomed, evidently.
I don't have the power that Liz does.
Yes,
okay, so.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for indulging me.
Okay, you've used up all your favors, Liz.
That's never happened before.
Danny, do you have anything? Bob, you guys have anything? Okay, all right, so that concludes public presentations. Next, we have staff announcements and reports.
Now we care about what you want to
say. I still don't know if I believe that.
Good evening, everybody. Just a few things to cover that aren't in the program highlights. Wanted to let everybody know that April 23rd, we had the mega adoption. And it was very successful. We saw over 70 animals be adopted from, you know, 40 different organizations from all over Kern County. 27 animals were adopted from the county. The rest were all over the place, including the city of Bakersfield. I believe Marilyn Stewart with Alpha Canine adopted out a few. Marley Smuts got rid of all their animals. I mean, it was a really good event. We saw, thanks to volunteer Keo with her clicker at the gate, almost 2,000 people that came through the gates to see the different vendors and to find out information about resources that are available to them. So I think it was very successful. We're looking forward to more collaborative events just like that. I did send out a press release today announcing that we are starting up the Tales for Tales program again, just to refresh everybody's memory. Last year we started a reading program in the shelter. Yes, that's a reading program in the shelter. Children are invited in to read softly and quietly to the cats. It was very successful last year. We were booked up for, I think we did it for about a month, and then we had so much demand that we added a few more days. And we're now taking enrollments for that. It is children between the ages of 7 to 12, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. And it's always a real fun thing to be a part of. If anybody wants more information about how to enroll in that class, you can come see me or Andrew. Wanted to touch on foster. So our foster coordinator, Deanna, you know, she's been the foster coordinator for almost 2 years now. She's come up with a lot of different ideas, and she's just been a wonderful addition to the foster program. And her goal has changed as the program developed. I think within the first 6 months or so, she wanted to see, you know, over 100 animals in foster, and she achieved that. And then she wanted to see 200 animals. And now she has a goal of having more animals in foster care than we have in the animal shelter. And she's close to that. As of this morning, we have 307 animals in foster care and 347 animals in the shelter.
Wow. Wow.
So we're going to celebrate that if and when that happens, that she surpasses the numbers that are being cared for in the shelter by the numbers that are being cared for by the community. So we'll celebrate that when that happens. I just wanted to give her credit for that. Also wanted to let everybody know, and please spread the word here. So in case anybody forgets, and I know that the people in this room are typically the same people that are here every week, but I always hope that the information that you take here gets disseminated to other folks that you might know. Well, if some of you forgot, we have a goal, and the goal is to turn the county shelters into what they consider no-kill. You know, we want to reduce euthanasia to the under 10%. And we presented the plan to the board to do that in December of 2015. The plan included that coming to fruition by 2020. We're making progress towards it, but sometimes we get the feeling that the public kind of forgets that we have that agenda, and we want to do that. And sometimes... all the time, we need community support to achieve those goals through rescue, foster, adoption, volunteer. So we're going to be starting an advertising and marketing campaign next month. We're going to be working actually in collaboration, hopefully, with multiple agencies in Kern County, mostly animal welfare and rescue agencies. But we're going to be starting partnering with Marley's Mutts, a no-kill Kern County campaign, May 23rd at the 9 a.m. board meeting. I'm going to be requesting that the board declare June as make Kern County Animal Services No-Kill Effort Awareness Month. So anybody who believes in it, supports the idea of county shelters becoming no-kill, or just the community, you know, supporting that goal, anybody who has any interest in supporting that, come out to the board meeting May 23rd, 9 a.m., show your support for the effort that the department's making and all of the rescue organizations that are helping us by finding animals placement out of our shelter. So, again, that's May 23rd at the 9 o'clock Board of Supervisors meeting. If anybody's interested, you can go to marleysmutts.com/no-kill, and there have some information about a pack walk that they're doing that morning from, I think, the Rabobank Arena to this building here that morning, just to show support for the no-kill movement. So there's a lot of momentum that's we're gonna try to put into raising awareness that this is a goal that we have and that we need everybody's buy-in, and that will include some advertising and marketing billboards that Animal Services will fund as well. I wanted to let everybody know that not everybody knows all the staff members that work at Animal Control, but we have an animal control officer by the name of Michael Green who passed away. He had been battling leukemia for about the past year and a half, and he lost his battle. He was an awesome officer. I worked with him for many years. I think he was an animal control officer for about 7.5 years in the Kern River Valley, and was a shelter worker before that. So, good person. He passed away.
What was his last name?
Green.
Green?
Officer Green, yes. He was an animal care worker for about 2 years as well. Very good person, and we're all sad that he lost his battle to leukemia. Last but not least, I wanted to address, I believe Commissioner Madigan had brought up an email that was read in, I think it was the March meeting, and if I recall, and I think I do, I wasn't here for that meeting, but I heard the recordings of it. It was an email that was, she was very upset, the person that wrote the email, just leave it at that. I did want to provide some clarification to that email, or some... I guess some background to that. So this was a person who surrendered three animals. This was on December 31st, the three animals were surrendered. They were surrendered because of the animal owner's particular situation. They couldn't care for the animals. On January 3rd, the person that surrendered the animals, the animal owner, came back in and expressed an interest to redeem those animals. There was fees involved. Anytime, even when you surrender your animal, there's fees involved. I think it was around $140 per animal. She could not afford that. She asked for some time. So that was on January 3rd. We gave her until January 7th. We said, please do what you can. We'll hold the dogs until Friday, January 7th. She came in on the 7th. She said, I can't come up with the funding. I need more time. So we gave her through the weekend. We said, if you can come in Monday and pay the fees, we'll hold the dogs until then. And then we just never heard from her again until January 24th. So by that time, you know, one of the dogs had already had a behavior evaluation and failed it. And the other one had gotten ill and could continue to hold them. Now, the last animal found a home through adoption. So this is what the gal was upset about. Understandably so. She surrenders three dogs and she's finding out that two of them were put down. It's never the outcome that we want to see. But that is the background and sort of the specifics around that email that came about. I wanted to try to bring that up and give some clarification as well. Also, okay, so that covers the things that I wanted to cover that are not in the program highlights, and now I'll get to the program highlights. Our rescue program saw 173 animals leave our facility to rescue partners. Our foster program added 161 animals into foster care, and like I said, we currently have 307 animals, probably more than that by now. It seems like they're going out pretty fast. The total cats that went through the trap neuter release program since implementation are 5,656. And by the way, if those of us aren't aware, the city of Bakersfield now has a trap neuter release program. Big thanks to Critters Without Litters for helping with that trap neuter release program. So I think that even gives more traction to the hopeful, inevitable long-term solution to the feral cat problem in Kern County, Bakersfield. Our vaccine clinic going strong. Our staff is working them right now, I think, as we speak, actually wrapping one up. We had a Heritage Park clinic that you see on. Those are not typos. 224 rabies vaccinations and 248 licenses sold. I think our staff had taken in a total of about $15,000.
How do you get more licenses than rabies vaccinations? That's kind of amazing.
If people had licenses or needed licenses, though, although their rabies vaccination was already, or they got it done somewhere else.
And that's just surprising, huh?
Yeah.
We got the rabies vaccination at Critters.
I know. It's just surprising that would be the discrepancy.
Yeah, we don't see that too often.
Okay.
Adoption is 355 animals. Well, and yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, back to that. Can I ask you what happened in Welldale?
18. That was not a vaccine clinic. That was the Love Oildale event, and we just participated in it. So we were kind of tagging along to the Love Oildale event, and we just had a booth. And actually, considering, you know, we didn't do much advertising for that, the fact that we did 18 rabies vaccinations and 18 licenses, it's actually pretty successful. Year to date, 1,448 animals have been adopted. I wanted to also touch on some statistics, if I could. Last year at this time, through the same date, 2016, we had just eclipsed 30%. We were at 29.5% euthanasia rate, and this year so far we're just under 25. So that's going to get harder to maintain that as puppy and kitten season moves on. But our staff is doing a really good job getting animals out of our shelter alive and making strides towards that no-kill goal. Six cats adopted through the Petco locations. That's good because we've had trouble finding cats for the Petco program. We did have our April Fool's adoption event. I don't come up with these names, but don't be a fool adoption promotion. Although, personally, I like May's the best. I think it was May we find you a new pet. See Commissioner Madigan rolling around, isn't it? Our volunteer coordinator is not here tonight, so I'll give the volunteer numbers update. As you can see, volunteers donated 2,733 total hours in April. That equals 15 staff members, and boy, do we need it right about now. The value that gives back to the department is over $64,000. And the hours are broken down in the work performed as well.
What's MAOF?
That is the Mexican American Opportunity Foundation. Field services ran 1,469 calls for service. 23 dogs were returned to their owners in the field. 56 dogs were secured on property by animal control officers in the month of April. And if I could bring your attention to the one of the last pages, which is the euthanasia comparison statistics, and you'll see good things. Again, year-to-date as of the end of April, our euthanasia numbers are down significantly. And again, make no mistake, that reduction in euthanasia is almost identical to the increase in animals that we're sending to the foster program. And that concludes the director's report. I can answer any questions.
Nick, may I ask, on the foster program,
yes, ma'am.
Now when we were down there grooming today, we saw baby puppies and stuff, and baby kittens. Now, are those the animals going into foster, animals that can't be put out for adoption yet? Or, I mean, we've got all these 300 plus animals in foster, but how long do they stay there? I mean, what's the situation?
Probably 95% of the animals in foster are cats. Mm-hmm. And out of those 95%, probably 90% of them are under, you know, 4 weeks of age.
Okay.
So the only reason...
basically to get them up.
Yes.
Healthy,
the majority of the animals in the foster program are there just to get them 8 weeks of age so we can get them altered and send them out through adoption. And actually, our foster staff and our shelter staff has come up with a really awesome program. You know, prior to about 2 months ago, if you were to trap a feral cat that had kittens, we would fix the mom and put the kittens down and then release the cat through the TNR program. Well, now we're trying something a little bit different. It's a program that was titled the Mean Queens Program. I haven't promoted it yet. But basically what we're trying to do is we're holding those cats with their kittens in the hopes that we can get foster for the kittens. But if we don't, we'll keep them on property until the kittens are of age, and then we can separate the mom from the kittens, fix the mom, send her out TNR, and then put the kittens up for adoption. So we're a significant portion of those 300 animals that are in foster care right now are offspring of feral cats. So we're trying to make up some ground in that the feral cats that are coming in with litters.
Wonderful numbers. And may I make a comment? Lovely to see that we're getting animals returned into yards and back to people. Those critters are paying for themselves, aren't they?
They are, yes.
I mean, I have a locked yard I take for my dogs to get out, but the thought that they could just scan their chip and see their tags and put them back in the yard is a wonderful, wonderful thought.
Yeah, and another kind of benefit that we didn't foresee is that our officers, when they pick up an animal in the field, they can log the animal into the chameleon system before they get to the shelter, so that if somebody comes in, and it's happened more than once, and says, hey, I lost my yellow lab, or my, you know, chocolate pit bull, whatever it might be, pit bull's probably more apropos, I lost him on such and such an area, we can check a certain kennel that we have designated for officers when they pick up an animal, and if it's already in the officer's truck, we can get it returned to the owner without it coming to the shelter. So before, we didn't know what animals the officers had on their vehicles. Now we do, so we can kind of cut them off at the pass when that does happen.
Fantastic.
Can I ask what the name of that declaration is again?
We're declaring June as the Kern County Animal Services No-Kill Effort Awareness Month. There's a reason why it's so long, and I'm not going to get into the reason right now.
I was just wanted to make sure that acronym didn't spell anything that we'd be embarrassed about, but you probably need to check that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did. Kern County Animal Services No Kill Effort Awareness Month. Yes.
Okay.
Question.
Yes, sir.
There's a number of parts involved in getting you to no kill.
Yes.
And where does your voucher program come into there, do you think, as far as the importance?
I think you break things down into short-term and long-term. I think in the short-term, you know, we're the foster program, even though it's wonderful, foster and adoption and rescue, those are Band-Aids. And it's not preparing us for 4 years down the road. I mean, if you were to, you know, put in a list, you know, from 1 to 10... you know, spay neuter is probably 9 if it's not 10. I mean, it's probably the most important factor. Because, again, you could do really good 1 year and get out, you know, 85% of the animals that come in to your shelter, but if budget changes or staffing changes and you're not affecting the overall amount of animals that are coming to you, well, next year you might just end up putting down, you know, half of the animals that come to you and take a step back. So
again, the spay-neuter voucher program is probably, if not the, one of the most important parts of that no-kill agenda.
There's a part that a lot of people probably don't realize, though. We deal with a lot of your clients, and they're mostly first time ever coming to a vet. Mm-hmm. And so once they have that experience the first time, they're going to spread the word. They're your marketing department.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, this was easy. This was affordable. I looked three times. I finally had to have Vicki show me where your voucher information was at. And it is still so limited that it makes me cringe. It just says, yeah, we have $20 vouchers available if you can find the spot. You know, I talked to you a year ago here about, you know, the frustration that your type of clientele has that if they have to go to your clinic, your shelter, and they think they're going to get a voucher, then they get, oh, well, you got to have this information. You got to have that information. You got to qualify. You got to do this. And if they have to make three trips, they're not going to get theirs done, and they're not going to be your marketing department.
I agree with you, Larry.
You're talking about buying billboards and everything else, and I would think that your voucher program would be on the front page in a ribbon.
You have a point. I don't know that the voucher program is underperforming. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't need to be marketed more, but we're going to overspend.
That's not marketing.
We're going to overspend the spay-neuter funding. So not that it does. I mean, look, we're facing 12 different problems on 12 different fronts. I mean, like you said, where does it fit into the overall?
It's the public, though, to help you get more money from the supervisors.
I don't know that any more money is coming from the supervisors.
You know, that's a good thing if you run out of money.
But you're preaching to the choir. I agree that there needs to be a better marketing job done for the voucher program, and that's going to be done through the website, which our ITS department is completely revamping our entire website.
Good.
I've been working on it because it's been a year, and that seems to me like a simple thing to get it to where people don't have to make three trips out there.
Can I comment on that briefly?
Sure.
Vicki and I talked last year before my extended absence about updating that list of options, and I believe, I have to look on the website, but I believe that going to the spay-neuter options is the only place you can find it on the website, is that correct?
That's, I think, the only place it is right now, yeah.
Okay. And I agree, it always has been almost impossible for someone who's not in the know to be able to access one of those vouchers because there is no place on the website that really gives you any guidance. The other side of the coin is if they advertise it too much, they're going to run out of money mid-year and then, you know. So it makes it difficult.
We fix things really fast. I mean, I find that, like, oh, we're going to run out of money really. Okay, so
I know,
instead of spreading out the fixing over the course of the year, or maybe something had another litter or two, we got them all fixed really fast.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I understand. I'm just saying. And the issue that Larry has with it isn't just the difficulty that there is in finding it.
It's the difficulty in following.
When you look at the actual space, it doesn't tell people the information they need in order to be able to make one trip and go there and get the voucher.
It's not user-friendly, I agree.
That's, I think, the issue. And so we're not going to, we don't have the expertise at our place to be able to tell people
to jump through all those
in order to go over here, this is what you're going to need to bring with you, nor with 100 to 150 calls coming in a day do we have the time to talk people through every program that we know of as far as that goes. And so it just feels like it would be a nice service for people to know if you want to go to the county, we can say, click this link and you can see what you need to have in order to be able to get a voucher there. It doesn't waste their time when people call them who aren't going to qualify. Mm-hmm. It doesn't waste their time when people walk in the doors and start engaging a staff member who's got 14 things to do when they don't have the paperwork to qualify.
Right. It boils down to just making voucher gaining more user-friendly.
And well, certainly if they're redoing the website, that's something.
Well, that's my question. Is that going to be part of the revamp of the website?
Well, I mean, part of the marketing campaign that Larry referred to is not to highlight one particular aspect of what we're trying to do. We want to steer people to the website so they can find out how to contribute and support the overall idea of ending the euthanasia of adoptable animals, whether that be spay-neuter, whether that be volunteer, whether that be fostering, whether that be donating to your local animal shelter. And by the way, not just ours. We're trying to get people to do that to whatever jurisdiction they may be in. and whatever animal shelter they feel they want to help. So yeah, spay and neuter is a big part of it. But it's when we do an advertising or marketing campaign to try and bring awareness to whatever it may be, it needs to be steered to a common place, which has to be our website. The website, if you take a look at it, as it exists right now, just say it leaves a lot to be desired.
It's a little wonky.
I've been working with the ITS department now for about 8 months to try and put together our website. And I think I mentioned it in this forum before. Sometimes when you're dealing with a government entity and you don't want the online representation to look like a government entity, people don't agree with that. So trying to get our site to be welcoming, with a dearth of information on there that's easily manipulated and people get the information that they want. So I'm well aware that it is an issue that the information needs to be displayed promptly and easy for people to find. I mean, I would be more concerned if we were having trouble selling vouchers, which we're not.
If you want to maximize results in spay neuter, you can't do 1,000 a year, you can't do 5,000 a year. You're not going to make the dent. The more you crank out every day is when you get the end result quicker. You want to have no kill in a certain length of time. That means you don't put a limitation. That's like, okay, I was self-employed my whole life. I'm sorry. I'll just tell one story. I've got 3,000 firefighters up here. An Assisto salesman wants my business. He gets it. He cleans the warehouse in L.A. out of like a dozen different products, and the brokers in that office are telling him, hey, you can't take all that because we have other customers. The president of that location called up those guys and said, hey, the salesman's doing his damn job. You get on the phone and you find more product. Okay, in this case here, you make it as easy as possible to develop those salespeople, which is the citizens here. Run out of money. Then it's up to other organizations and the public and the supervisors to go, wait a minute. I mean, it makes sense to me. When everybody announced that Tejon's going to give you 200 grand, immediately I'm going, okay, they're not going to give you anything but the 200 grand now. It would make more sense to me if they keep funding their money, and if you can get all those people to use that money, you're going to knock the problem out sooner. And the sooner you knock it out, the more money you save in the long run. Because if you try to do it on a budget, you will be here 20 years from now.
I agree.
Still trying to solve it.
Which just... to touch on a point that you mentioned, that Tejon funding is supposed to come into our budget not this fiscal year, the fiscal year after this fiscal year. So we have some time. Now, you mentioned also something else. It'd be nice if the county didn't remove the contribution. There is no guarantee that they will remove the contribution.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good likelihood that we'll be...
they're getting results.
There's a pretty good likelihood...
money in 6 months... and you can show them that a couple of months early, it's like, whoa, we've got to figure out something here. Maybe there's some kind of a government community participation thing where you get some other people involved. You know?
There's a pretty good likelihood that in 2 years we'll be looking at $450,000 worth of spay neuter funding.
But the sooner they
likely
solve the whole thing is you've got to crank that. I'm sorry. I get it at 5 o'clock.
I'll do my part. Again, with the caveat, my body keeps working, and I'm going to try to put together that list that I had promised to Vicki. We had talked after the meeting, just so kind of keep everybody in the loop, because there needs to be like one location where everybody can go to get information on all the vouchers, because if every single organization has the list, then the list is going to get all convoluted and everything. So... Vicki said they'd be happy to be the central location, and it makes the most sense for them to be the central location. So I will.
Which list was this?
Huh?
Which list was this?
The list of all the voucher programs,
including the resources that are available
yeah.
to people.
It's that list that I created years
update
ago.
Update them daily, too, if you can.
Yeah. Well, that way, if there are changes,
it's updated quarterly.
Quarterly.
Because right now, your list says Friends is still giving out vouchers.
Yeah, I mean, that list is ancient. That's the one I wrote years ago,
yeah.
back when I was a young girl. So anyway, I will do my best to do my part to create that, as I promised last year. And then we can, you know, also address the issues with the county website and that voucher program. But anyway, so I have two jobs now. One is working with her on the JPA, and the other one is the spigoted options list. So just that is, will be coming.
Thank you. Liz?
Thank you, Ms. Gale, has a question.
Thank you. If I can make some comments on the whole voucher program, distribution, usage, and all that, and I think, again, Director Cullen or my favorite BDI CPA will correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm going to go back to the Happy Kern Cats grant that I was involved in many years ago. When the voucher program first started, the supervisors made very clear that they wanted this to go to low-income people. In other words, a targeted audience. These are the folks, I think, Larry, that you'd agree, that are almost the hardest to reach. They don't have the, their kids do, but, you know, the kids are listening to videos. They're not accessing the Animal Services website. And so what happened, because if Animal Services showed the year with a surplus in the spay-neuter funds, the supervisors are going to say, people don't want them, so we're going to cut your funding. Footnote, Animal Services also has to fight with Sheriff Youngblood and the fire chief and God knows who else for every cent. So what happened was, even though we set a poverty level and said if you make above it, you don't qualify, it was kind of loose because we wanted people to get the vouchers, get them out, talk to their friends, and all of that. success breeds success, and it became successful enough so that people, I sat at a couple of Wednesday clinics when I was writing the $20 vouchers for Kern Humane to use as down payment. People were making $80,000 and had families of four. Now, I'm not saying you did wrong, but we had to get the word out. But we need you. That Happy Kern Cats grant, PetSmart Charity said, you target. You don't just scattershot all over. When we saw that these vouchers were being used, and some by people who could afford to have it done on their own, then you start tightening and saying, well, where's your, Social Security stub? Where's your TAMF card and all of that? I agree. You need to get that information out so people aren't jacked around based on prior experience. Well, my neighbor came here 3 months ago. She makes $100,000. She got a voucher. Why can't I? The same thing, by the way, is going on with the city's TNR program. They're not getting the information out that they need to call Critters Without Litters to make an appointment before they trap a cat. They trap a cat, and because what you always did for 9 million years was bring a trapped cat to the shelter so it could be euthanized, that's what people do. They're told to call Critters and make an appointment. And you, Vicki and Larry, probably know this. They say, hell no. I'm not taking this cat back and trying to trap it in a week or a month. Here, keep it. So the city is now doing some sterilization, and I'm one of the people that's returning the ferals to where they were trapped. I think it's great. I love it. My point is, the information, you're right. Give people information first. 90% of them will follow it, 10% won't, and still fetch. But when people are used to doing things in a certain way, when they hear, and Larry's right, the best advertising is word of mouth. When people hear that my neighbor did something 6 months ago, and now you're telling me you want, my W-2 or whatever I don't pay taxes, so I don't get that stuff. then you're dealing with something that's tougher. And that's that moment.
It's an educational process.
Okay, I just had a couple of quick questions. I believe that Spangler is the key to have a no-kill shelter. With the website that you have, I can't say I'm terribly familiar with it, and it sounds like it's going to be a while before the new one is up and running.
I'm asking that we can have it done by June 3rd.
Well, that'd be good.
Because if we're going to start a marketing campaign that pushes people to the website, it's pretty important that the website be functional. Hopefully some here in the next week.
If for some reason it gets delayed, is there any way just to update the information on spay and neuter in the current program?
Yes.
Can we do that?
Sure.
And also, I'm just curious, on the phone line, the phone menu, is there numbers you can push to get spay and neuter information?
No.
Is there's no menu, there's no anything like that?
All right,
just talking. Thank you.
Anything else? Good. Okay. All righty then.
Thank you.
You're up, Blake.
Beady
eye. I am Blake Smith. I am the beady eyed bean counter. However, I nearly passed the CPA exams. I'm not a full-fledged CPA, so I wish I was, but you know, that's life. So, with 2 months to go, we've got 8.5% of our funding left. However, we haven't really gone into the trust fund yet, so I'm not concerned about running out of money before the end of the year. In fact, I think the biggest thing I want to talk about is what we've got going on with this $30,000 in outlying area funding. So most of that is being done by Marley's Mutts, and they've been going door to door in lovely places like Mojave and Boron, and and what they're actually doing that is, I think, is just really helpful, is that when we take our mobile out to our mobile units out to those places, they can't do big dogs, and desert people like their big dogs. So we weren't really doing anything about resolving that problem, and so they've been focusing. They go door to door, and they're finding they're having. They have Dr. Willis go to Tehachapi, and his mobile unit can handle big dogs. And so we've got people who are so anxious to get their big females fixed, spayed. I was corrected that I'm not supposed to say fixed. So,
Kaufman would be going.
So that they're getting them spayed, that they're actually not. The few people who aren't willing to drive to Tehachapi from Boron, Cal City, whatever, are actually thrilled for the opportunity to drive them up there. And so we're able to. And I think this is, even though that's not, this is not, we're well beyond low hanging fruit here. We're going after the toughest of the tough with these, and it's working. And with the help of Don Romero and her people that she works with, all of the volunteers, they're doing really well. So we're gonna exceed the funding. Here we'll dip into the trust fund to continue, and we're gonna do another date of passing out vouchers in early June to see if we can get more done. So we're excited with progress, actually.
Half price vouchers.
There are flyers back there in case anybody's interested in what Blake's talking about. The June 10th, I think, is the date.
June 10th.
They're going to sell vouchers for $10. So there are flyers on the back table.
And they will function the same as they're just going to get
yes.
a regular voucher only instead of paying $20, they pay $10.
Yep, it's going to be the same exact thing.
Get the list of vets.
Same list of vets. And I think the biggest, our biggest challenge right now to being able to do more is capacity. So is veterinary capacity, and we've got to look at that. And so we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do, because the vets are pretty much doing what they can do as fast as they can do it. So even if we did increase, even if we did give out more vouchers, I think the vets are doing what they can do. So.
Would you say that's true for you guys? Are you guys pretty maxed out?
We went through a period earlier this year where we only had one doctor. So when you're talking about large female dogs, yeah, they can stack up pretty quickly. That's never almost been the case when it comes to cats. That's never almost been the case when it comes to male dogs, which are the lowest number of animals that we see surgically are male dogs. And that's almost never been the case when it's come to small females. But yeah, if you're going to keep throwing 100-pound females because no mobile clinics will do them, and because the voucher doesn't make up for the differential that other veterinary hospitals are, I think, maybe looking for in some cases for those animals. Yeah, large females sometimes keep it a little down.
Yeah, we're talking about more than just...
We now have two vets, and so our capacity has increased by a great number of things, and if I could get my trappers to be a little more successful at trapping,
and
we can move through even more.
When we talk about veterinary capacity, we're talking about more than just Bakersfield.
So, yeah, I figured as much, but I just wanted to...
Yeah, so one of our biggest challenges is veterinarians that are willing to take our vouchers in the outlying areas. So, I think we're vetless in Ridgecrest and Rosamond and Tehachapi and... So the for as far as willingness to give our vouchers.
How often is there an outreach to the ones that haven't been willing?
So about a year and a half ago, I sent a letter to every vet I could find through Google, inviting them to accept our vouchers, and was turned down. Didn't get any response. I think I got one response as I look back on it. And then... we have two. I think there's three vets in up in the Kern River Valley, and one of them called me all hot and bothered that it was all over Facebook that it's all over Facebook that I won't take your vouchers. And my thought was, finally, something I know to be true on Facebook. So, but then he decided he would be willing to take them, but he's going to charge extra above and beyond that. So he's going to charge the people his full rate, but he'll take the vouchers. And so if the voucher is, if he charges $180 and the voucher is $140, then he's going to charge them the extra $40. So, but by golly, he's going to take our vouchers now.
There was a great vet, Dr. Rich Measles. And Measles or something like that in Rosemont, Sierra Oasis Animal Hospital. He was interesting, but he was really good. Anyway, he ended up moving, but now there, I've heard, I haven't been down there, but I've heard there's two female vets that have taken over that practice. So you might want to.
Where at?
It's in Rosemont, and it was called Sierra Oasis. Mm-hmm. Animal Hospital. So they're new there now, the two women, two vets.
Okay.
Maybe that could be part of the marketing too, is to the vets help, be part of the solution.
The problem is probably larger than whether they're willing to or are not willing to. The problem is some of the reimbursement rates for the vouchers are not high enough for people to be interested in it.
Right.
So that's something that we're seriously considering is looking at the reimbursement rate, but then you're risking reducing your overall numbers because the surgeries cost more. So it's a lot more complicated than sometimes you...
Now, with the trust fund, I know you were talking earlier about the concerns over, we spend the money, the supervisors say no. That's not something that they look at, right? The trust fund is...
So the trust fund is... they take 10% of all of the licensing money and put it in the trust fund.
Right.
And so there isn't a lot that goes in. I think we have about, so far this year, we're getting close to $30,000 in revenue this year
Well, probably it's not something that supervisors are going to hold against us.
No, so but they only let me take so much out.
Right.
So there's the limitation. So there's the $200,000 that we got this year, which we're going to easily use. And then I can dip into the trust fund up to about, I'm not sure I'm going to have to talk. But I should be able to pull $30,000 out without too much problem if we can justify it with the number of spay neuters that we're able to do.
You say they won't let you take it out? Who's the they?
So the auditor controller's office. So it comes down to a bunch.
That's enough.
It comes down to a lot of accounting issues, okay. and how I did the budget, and can I change it? And I mean, do I need to change it? And there's
okay.
So it's just kind of up in the air. So I requested $40,000 in appropriation, but there's to cover that, and I'm hoping that we'll have surgeries to cover that. So.
Okay. So this is another example of the irony of things at times, because when people buy licenses for unsterilized natural dogs, they pay more for the license, so more goes into the trust fund. With successful spay-neuter, and people paying a lower fee,
mm-hmm. less
money the license. There's less money going in.
It's like taxes and cigarettes.
I think it's good, but
on the other hand, we have a real difficult time getting people to license their unaltered dogs. Most of the licensing occurs in altered dogs. Another thing that we're doing is that if somebody comes in with an altered dog and they say, "Well, I really want to get it spay or neutered," then we will issue them a temporary license at the lower rate, pending them bringing us proof that the surgery has occurred. So your concern there is not really a material issue in my mind, because we have to, the people that are paying the full amount are usually breeders, and the rest of the people are just non-compliant. So that's how. Any other questions?
Nope. Thank you. All right. On to item F.
We have to motion back to the
You're saying it?
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
We need a motion to receive and file.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, back up. I need a motion to receive and file.
I was already looking for
my agenda.
Okay. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. All good. All right. So, do you have anything?
Just a few things. Update on the X-ray machine?
Has not been delivered yet.
Okay, but it's been delivered.
It should be, I would say, within the next few weeks, would you say, Blake?
I have been told that there's yet another hoop I get to jump through the county red tape to make everyone happy to get it, and I will do that. It is my hope that it'll be in. It has to be in before July 1. Okay. So it just has to be.
Is there anything I can do?
Obviously,
we
got enough funding.
I have to do an STS.
Yes.
Are we still fundraising for it?
Yeah, they just told me.
Well, the Friends Foundation is still fundraising for it.
Okay.
To sort of reimburse the counties.
Oh,
okay. All right. So that's still a viable option.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Perfect. Oh, I'm going to do
it. You better be telling everybody else lately. You do know I
have 10 days. The next thing is, right, I want to reiterate
quick
voucher scenario. Way back when I did a lot of research on this, and I've said this numerous times, I'm just going to say it again. The research shows that if you want to reduce intakes, you need to provide spay-neuter for low-income people. Therefore, vouchers should go to low-income, not anybody and everybody, especially those 100,000 a year folks. So I still support keeping those low-income guidelines, even though they're a bunch of hoops to jump through. The other thing is that at the mega adoption, I spoke with the director of the McFarland Shelter, who I believe is both animal services director and city
He's a city planner.
City planner.
Acting as
the... I knew it was something else, yeah. But it sounds like he's really trying his best to make a good effort out there. So if you are inclined to support McFarland Shelter, please follow up on that. And then I have a question about the retention program. Has that gotten off the ground?
I mean, it was already off the ground. We still field calls. Usually they go through our rescue coordinator. Most of what we're seeing that comes through the retention program, the Happy at Home program, is people calling because they need to rehome their animal. And Jerry, close your ears for a second. So what we'll do is we'll facilitate placement for that animal with some of our rescue partners so that the animal never comes to the facility.
Okay. But as far as providing resources, like my fence broke, so... and I can't afford to get a new fence, that kind of stuff.
No, we have no funding in order to do that. Now, we make referrals, yes.
No, I mean, yeah, you can make referrals to maybe good options for helping to get your fence repaired.
Yeah, and we still do field probably 12 to 15 calls a month from the Happy at Home program.
Okay, all right. And then, the last thing is, I probably need to make a call to Julie Johnson, but I was wondering maybe Vicki, without a lot of length, briefly, can you tell us how the city TNR program works? Because I haven't, I'm not
sure.
Up to date on
it's
that.
Super easy.
Okay.
No, it's super easy. A person calls us, they say they've got a stray cat in the city, we let them know, okay, we have traps available when we have traps available. We've got 48 traps, and they are all out, and we have a waiting list at this point. As people come in, they get traps, they schedule a day, they put the trap out the night before. If they catch it, it comes in the next morning. If they don't catch it, they call us and let us know. We slot them back in the next available spot.
Okay.
They bring them in, they pick them up the following morning, and they release them.
Okay.
So
where does the city come in?
They pay for it.
Okay, so but I mean, do you verify that they live in the city?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
The reason Vicki and I are having just little disagreement is what goes back to the way people were used to doing it, and they show up at the shelter with a cat in the trap, and they are not going to call because going back to the other stuff, it is not outlined that you need your W-2 or your Social Security card or your whatever. It is not outlined that you need to call Critters.
The city has a complete list of instructions that was presented to them. It went with them to the press releases they sent out. They have written copies to go out there. I am aware because I knew it.
And they have to go out to the shelter.
Right.
Okay.
That's
all right. Could you send me that written instruction? Okay, cool. Thank you. That's all I have.
All right, thank you. Okay, on to item G, old business. Items G and H were continued from the April 26th meeting. So we had no staff referrals. Emergency prep?
Yeah. Going back to April 2nd, CIPO, California Animal Disaster Team, did a core training and a basic animal sheltering training up in Tehachapi. We invited 25 people. 25 people showed up. It was a great training. It was on a Sunday, so Naomi, who's the director of CCAT, didn't think everyone was going to show up, but they did. So it was a great training. So with that in mind, we are planning. I just got out today, so I don't have any flyers. We're planning on doing another one tentatively June 11th. Tentatively, it's going to be at the SPCA. It's going to be the core and the basic training, which are required to be a volunteer for CCAT. I won't have it in time. It'll be too late for the next meeting. So if anyone is interested, probably the best thing is to go on the Facebook Lariat site, which is L-A-R-I-A-T, and we'll post it up there. We'll post the flyer. And that will enable you to actually put an application and be a volunteer. And we need people down this way because we got a handful of them up in Tehachapi, but we need more. And it's a great group, and they're super organized. Also, we did attend, we had a booth at the Mega Adoption, and we got a lot of information out. It was a lot of fun, and I think it was also very well attended. And one other thing, there is another training that CCAT is doing. They have invited Eric Sackett, who is the law enforcement specialist for the Humane Society of the United States, to come down and do a training on dog fighting. And it's pretty much law enforcement, animal control, animal services. But if anyone is interested in coming, let me know, Jerry. it's going to be a very informative but very sad training. So anyway, that's pretty much what we have going on right now.
What was the date and time of that first training you mentioned?
The next core training for CCAT would be June 11th, tentatively.
What's the date on the one you want me to go to?
That would be June 1st, and it's also going to be at the SPCA. That one's a definite.
The first one's at SPCA also.
The animal fighting class, mm-hmm. June 1st, that's in this room.
Oh, it's here?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah.
That's the second one?
It's... Yeah, so
June 1st
is
the
animal fighting
Central license. California Animal Disaster Team /HSUS/ Kern County Animal Services.
Correct.
Animal fighting class, and it'll be given here,
stages
taught by Eric.
It is on the permanent the flyer, the revised flyer, yes. Now. So it's definitely here, the dog fighting one. It's from 8 to 4:30.
Yes.
So.
You know, if I could, I just want to mention something to everybody. I was in a meeting. Just touching on the emergency preparedness item there. I was in a meeting with the fire department and the sheriff's department and a bunch of other sort of disaster response agencies on Tuesday. The county's predicting this to be the worst fire season in the history of Kern County. So if you know people that live in remote areas, please implore them to be prepared for evacuation. Because mm-hmm. they're talking about, you know, if you thought the Erskine fire was bad last year, they're talking about there's a possibility for one of those a month this fire season.
And to become a CCAT volunteer. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all I got.
That's great.
Is that the meeting that was yesterday? There was something at public health about disaster preparedness last night?
I'm not sure what that is.
Okay. I know we talked about it at a meeting, but I wasn't able to get there. Okay. Thank you.
Jerry, I'm sending the flyer to you.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Okay, Friends of Kern County, do we have anybody here from Friends? Okay, we'll pass on that. Citizens Patrol, Gary's not here. I know Jeff and Gary had initially not had contact, and I forwarded them updated information. There is a clinic coming up in June, which I don't think Jeff's going to be available for, but Gary may be calling. So.
Do we want to keep that on the agenda going forward, or are we...
I would say yes for now.
Okay.
Can I ask, what is Citizens Patrol?
Well, it's the hope that we can get
volunteers to do.
Exactly.
You're good.
Yeah. You're just going to have to kill me more.
To help out with. And when is the training?
There's a company that does training for civil services members, fire departments, and all that, and it's going to be next month down in the Orange County area.
Not local.
No. Okay. I'll email you the info, though.
Okay.
Okay, and then let's see here. Number 5 was discussion regarding frequency of future animal services. I thought we already had a conversation about that. We decided that we weren't going to.
We did, and we continued it because of an absence.
Oh, okay. All right.
We have a different absence.
Okay, so we had discussed previously possibly minimizing the amount of meetings that we had. We had a conversation amongst everybody, and it was kind of determined that no, we weren't going to do that. So I will entertain further discussion on that if anybody would like to discuss it.
I was the absence, is that right?
Yes, initially.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't
initially,
remember.
Yes.
I was the first absence. I saw it on the agenda, and I touched base with Nick about it a little bit. Just to put it in a nutshell, my first choice would be to change nothing. But if, you know, push came to shove, I'd be okay with every other month. And not that, you know, we make life-changing decisions here. Once in a while we do, but generally, you know, we just kind of communicate about things going on. That being said, communicating about things going on is probably, in my opinion, the primary unwritten goal of this particular organization. Goal is not the word I'm looking for, but side effect maybe. You know, from way back when it was Kern County Partnership for Animals, it was an information sharing event, and I would hope that we would continue that aspect of this, if nothing else, and therefore keep it every month.
I agree.
I agree too.
Okay, so I guess we don't really have to go any further on that. Alrighty. So do we need a motion or anything, or we're just going to stay as
you
is?
You need a motion as to whether or not to change the meeting schedule, a second, and then a vote.
Alright, so I need a motion.
I make a motion to leave the schedule as is.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Alright. Okay, on to new business. There was a few handouts, I think, that went out, and I just wanted to kind of entertain a discussion about the importation of foreign dogs. There have been some problems around the country. A lot of it relates to the, Hunan? Dmitri Market? Yeah, whatever it is. They've had a quarantine down in L.A., and because of the dog flu, they had about 50 cases. I think 15 were actual hospitalized. There was approximately 15 that showed symptoms, and I believe 2 passed away, though they had some underlying issues. So I think, ultimately, my concern in bringing it up, I think, is realistically, do we have any kind of protocols in place for something like this to notify the public if there's a problem?
I mean, I can tell you that our medical staff is testing our animals in the shelter for the canine influenza.
Oh, wow.
And that if we were to find a positive, that information would be immediately released to the media and the public.
Okay, perfect. And then as far as, like, interagency, like L.A. County, did they notify Kern County that they were having an issue down there?
Directly, no.
Okay, so we don't really have communication.
Our vaccination supplier notified us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So that was the biggest concern, and we have seen that, and also occasionally rabies does come in from dogs coming in from Mexico. So we have had any in Kern County. So if anybody wants to add to that. Or... Okay, cool. Anybody out there have any questions?
Hasn't
been. Yes, Bob.
Would you please move your microphone just a little bit closer?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
That better?
It is.
Okay, good. So, do you want me to repeat anything?
No.
Okay.
But I do want to hear about this issue.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You have some handouts. Are they available in the back?
They are.
Okay.
If you have some of that one.
Pardon me?
EJ picked up some of the
handouts. Okay, perfect. So I think we just need to kind of be aware and be diligent. And, you know, if you hear something, because we do interact with other communities sending dogs, and unfortunately we've got kind of a transient nature here. You know, because we're a travel hub, we will see animals coming and going through town. And there's always a potential risk. So you just want to be aware that that risk is out there. And if you have an ability to protect your animals against it, it might be prudent.
Does your information have, like, numbers and so on, how many are coming across?
Yeah, there was the update from L.A. County as far as what they were having.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've got some information.
Okay.
Sure.
I saw this was on, and I said, oh, I can look that up. And one thing's actually from the HSUS. There, it's just a compilation of stuff.
Thank you.
And then there's the HSUS.
Can you give a copy to Bob, too?
Sure. That's Gary. Thank
you.
Huh? And
I'll get you the other one.
My turn. Okay, Terry Kahn, tax fee. What I just gave to the board is just number one is a single page, has a compilation of information pulled off the CDC. And you can tell anybody that says, oh, you know, found this poor puppy and it just got, you know, rescued and here I am giving it a home and it's 9 weeks old. No. If it came in at 9 weeks old, it's incredibly illegal because puppies, CDC will not allow vaccination before 3 months, and then they have to wait 30 days before the puppy is allowed to be, disseminated among the public. In that time, if they're not 3 months old yet, they're required to be quarantined by the importer being the owner, and they cannot change transfer ownership before the quarantine ends, which means puppies have to be at least 4 months old when they're incoming. That was from CDC, and that was updated January 30th, 2017. In USA Today, and this is back from 2007, but I thought the numbers were interesting, said, talking about rabies, and the big thing that CDC is worried about is rabies that is transferred, can be transferred to humans and other animals. And they're talking about a dog from India going through SeaTac up in Washington, and also in 2007 had rabies. Made it all the way to Alaska and a new owner. November 2004, dog imported from Mexico, first case of canine rabies in Los Angeles in more than 30 years. May 2004, dog from Puerto Rico taken to Massachusetts shelter and had rabies, and first such case in decades according to the Massachusetts State Department of Health. And agencies in Southern California created the Border Puppy Task Force, and they said that they were seeing 10,000 puppies enter San Diego County in 1 year. And so they were targeting the puppy peddlers, saying that the sellers use the internet, newspaper classified, street corners, and pet stores to sell the unregulated dogs. And by the way, there is a bill, Assembly Bill 45, that is going through Sacramento right now that wants to make sure that pet stores can only sell from these rescues. And who knows where they're going to be from. And then from Doberman Chat last year, it talks about the pipeline coming through California from Mexico to other parts, and how there had been the San Diego Humane Society imported another plane load of dogs from Korea for resale, even though they're saying that, you know, they have to put down animals because we don't have enough room for them. Talking about the numbers and the different things that they bring in. And then I added on the bottom there, zoonotics, which are diseases that can be transferred from one species to another, specifically from dogs to humans. Ones that are known to be transferred are roundworms. And these are all found, by the way, in these rescues from other countries. Roundworms, tapeworms, hookworms, sarcoptic mange, rabies, ringworm, canine influenza, and you think, wait a minute, no. Giardia and E. coli, canine influenza. Whoever thought that swine influenza was going to affect humans, or that avian influenza was going to affect humans, but they both do. And many people have died from them. Canine influenza, they know that at some point it will mutate and it will hit people. And that's just, you know, and that's what we're talking about in Los Angeles, is the canine influenza. And then the other paper I have is a two thing, and I don't have a date on it. Humane Society of the United States did not put a date on it, but they did talk about dog and puppy import issues, and I figure, hey, might as well use their stuff if, you know, if it agrees with me. So, guys, I'll get you copies of it. We'll also need
485.
AB 45.
Yeah, in fact, it was in committee today, I think. I don't know what the outcome was.
I don't know
what
Terry. Do you have an extra copy, Terry?
Who wants another copy?
We need one.
Don't you know?
Hello.
Thank you.
But not those.
Basically, say
no
imported dogs as they come and help.
All right.
Do you still need a motion to receive?
Anybody else?
Madam Chair, we need a motion to receive and file the document.
Okay. May I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Mm-hmm. All right. Received and filed. Okay. So the last thing is a motion to adjourn until our next meeting. I make a motion to adjourn, which is Wednesday, June 21st. Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we're good to go. Thank you very much.